Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. I was recently in a great conversation with a friend, and we were discussing who in recent history has had the most influence on modern times. It's a very interesting question, and one which I'm sure that historians would go mad over trying to answer if they were sitting in a room together. But being that I am a trained historian, I loved a good debate, especially if it ends with an agreement. Think about this for a second. Who in modern times has had the greatest influence over the way we live now? There are so many people that have come and gone and are found in books that honor their lives and memory, but using the keyword influence in the conversation, you have to now begin to narrow it. As a reminder, a leader is anyone who has influence over another person, and a buffalo leader is someone who optimistically charges into a storm with the idea that they will take on their challenges without delay in order to control their destiny instead of trying to procrastinate and hope it goes away. Leaders are all of us. Whether you are in a classroom as a student or a teacher, an office, a hospital, a manufacturing plant, it doesn't matter. Everything that you do every day makes an impression. Everything you say can inspire or deflate. Your kindness or anger can spark others. And most importantly, you, just being you, makes a difference. So as a leader, what are you doing each day to support others by being intentional about your influence? That is the key reflection for this week. And I want to give you one of my favorite little examples of being aware of your influence from a short story about Martin Luther King. You see, January 20th in the United States is a federal holiday, and we celebrate the life and work and influence of Martin Luther King. He, by the way, is who I chose as my influential person in modern history, and he is the one I want to tell you a story about. Now, here are a couple of quick facts about Martin Luther King to help you recognize how much we still are influenced by him. Did you know that in a quick search, there are over 8,000 books written about him? In the United States, there are 900 streets named after him, and he has his own federal holiday. He was intelligent and, most importantly, cognizant of his influence. While a man with faults, like all of us, he knew that every day he could make a difference. He recognized that he was a leader, and he came of age in a time where his very ideals were seen as a threat. He was a super buffalo. His influences and ideas, as well as his core values of peaceful protests, were genius and influenced others. Martin Luther King is someone that today we all recognize, and many people aspire to live up to his ideals. However, there are many things that history has softened about him. Most importantly is that he was actually wildly unpopular in the United States in the 1960s. As a matter of fact, when he was taken from this earth and assassinated, he had a disapproval rating of 75% across the country. His constant pursuit of justice and equality was seen by most of white America as a threat, as rabble-rousing, and was not truly appreciated in all corners of American life. So what kind of a mindset must a person have when that many people are speaking out against you? What type of mental framework guides you when you face resistance in almost every corner of your own country? What is your state of mind when your very presence brings on ignorant and engaged people to come to violence? I mean, seriously, your home has been bombed. Your front door has been blown off by a shotgun. Police disappear when they are supposed to protect you. You get arrested for just showing up, and yet there you are, looking into the storm clouds with conviction and charging right over the bridge and into the storm. So back to my favorite Martin Luther King story. If you spend any time reading about him or listening to his speeches, you are quick to be inspired, surprised, and amazed. So years ago, when I read about Martin Luther King winning the Nobel Peace Prize, I was really impressed. Martin Luther King received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, at which time he had a 50% approval rating in the United States. He was awarded the prize for his nonviolent resistance to racial prejudice in America. At 35 years old, a Georgian-born minister was the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. I want to share with you the first paragraph of his speech when he was accepting the prize in Oslo, Norway. I accept the Nobel Prize for Peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States of America are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice. I accept this award on behalf of a civil rights movement which is moving with determination and a majestic scorn for risk and danger to establish a reign of freedom and a rule of justice. I am mindful that only yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, our children, crying out for brotherhood, were answered with fire hoses, snarling dogs, and even death. I am mindful that only yesterday in Philadelphia, Mississippi, young people seeking to secure the right to vote were brutalized and murdered. And only yesterday, more than 40 houses of worship in the state of Mississippi alone were bombed or burned because they offered a sanctuary to those who would not accept segregation. I am mindful that debilitating and grinding poverty afflicts my people and chains them to the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Okay, did you just hear that? Seriously, here is a man who is the leader of a peaceful resistance seeking justice in his home nation with a low approval rating and in a nearly 100% white nation in Europe. There he is being honored by royalty for work that is so irrelevant to his audience that it is shocking. However, there he is in the shadow of Gandhi, offering up a strategy of peaceful resistance. Here's the part, however, that is mind-blowing to me. Now, if I were to win the Nobel Peace Prize, I gotta be honest, I'd be wearing the medallion around, calling my friends and sending selfies of myself to my teachers. I'd be on Ellen, the Today Show, this podcast would explode, and I'd be using my recent recognition to advance my cause. I would take that prize money and donate it to impact others, and I'd come home and go on a speaking tour, write a book that would make tons of money, and I'd take those royalties from the book and create an endowed nonprofit to ensure that Smart Thinking Buffaloes would last forever. Because that's what people do. But that's not what Martin Luther King did. And this is the part of the story that just blows my mind and reinforces that leadership and influence make a difference. Do you know what Martin Luther King did the day after he got back from Oslo with his Nobel Peace Prize and award money? I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't do what I just said. He took his prize money, donated it to the civil rights movement, put on a suit, and drove to a strike at a pen factory in Atlanta. Yep, he went to Scripto Pen, stood in the picket lines, and used his recent accolades to support the hundreds of unskilled laborers, mostly black, who were striking. And he called for a nationwide boycott of Scripto products. Now, there are a lot of stories about Martin Luther King, but this one demonstrates his humility and desire to be more than just a moment in history. Influence defines you as a leader, and MLK understood that. An hour on a picket line, a call for action, and using your presence to make a difference, that's what leaders do. This act was also his evolution towards other injustices on many new levels: social action, labor, the Vietnam War, and greater equality across the country. Think about this for a moment. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, flew home, slept, got in a car, and went to a pen factory strike. He was, every moment of every day, changing the direction of not just those he met, but everyone. Imagine the sheer terror of the executives at the pen factory when he shows up and when they read that his organization is calling for a boycott of their products. Now compound that with thousands of other actions he took, how he modeled for others the power of nonviolence, that your simple presence creates change, and ultimately how making choices in the economy can get people talking and compromising. Don't like us? We won't come to work today. Don't want us in your schools? We won't shop in your stores. Don't want us to have access to the polls? We'll walk miles and bring worldwide attention to your treatment of us. And it worked. And today it's still influencing us. While governments and corporate leaders may be slow to address problems, one quick social media post or ignorant comment can get a company like, say, PepsiCo or General Motors to say to their sponsors, "Hey, we're not risking our profits or our product to support this anymore, so we're pulling our advertising dollars." Well, guess where that strategy came from? Yeah, the 60s and the 50s. Now, you as a leader, you're probably thinking to yourself, "I don't have that much influence." But that's not true. You may not win the Nobel Prize and get on Ellen, but you will influence someone someday. You will influence someone today. You will make choices today. You will decide if you have a get-to attitude. You will decide if life is happening to you or for you. And you will decide to be a buffalo or a cow. Those decisions shape everything and everyone around you. When you underestimate yourself, you diminish your influence. Someone taught MLK how to read, to do math, write a speech, and think. Someone treated Martin Luther King when he was ill and gave him his first job. Someone consoled him when he was distraught. Someone fed him. Someone played catch with him. Someone smiled at him. Someone opened a door for him. Someone encouraged him to be better. Someone told him about Gandhi. None of us knows who in life we will inspire, who we will teach, or how we will influence. We don't get a book at the end of every day that says, "Okay, good job. Today at 9:36, you told someone you were impressed with their work, and the night before they were thinking they were useless. At 12:17, you held the door open for someone who was anxious about a meeting they were going to, and that simple gesture brought a smile to their face and allowed them to reframe." No one tells you that at 2:39 you gave someone the six shooters and they felt reassured and smiled that you had confidence in them and they laughed at your corniness. Nope, that'll never happen. But I can tell you this, if you are hypercognizant of your influence, you'll use it for the betterment of all those you serve. Now that it is January in the middle of winter here in the United States, I have one challenge for you. It's a simple question for you to ask those you serve. The strategy is called an influence recipe. Here's what you do. You hand those you serve a 3x5 note card, like a recipe card, and you ask them to list what they need from you in order to be their best. This provides you the recipe for influencing them to be better, grow stronger, and ultimately it allows them to influence more people. They will say things like, I need you to be patient. I need you to tell me it's okay. I need feedback. I need you to challenge my thinking. Leadership is not easy. Being Buffalo is certainly not easy, but when you are focused on how to support those you serve and love, you elevate yourself beyond your simple existence and operate as an influencer, a leader, a difference maker. Kids need to learn this early, and adults need to be reminded of it often. Lift your head this week and recognize that the greatest leaders put their egos in their pockets and stand with those that need them, even if that means being jet-lagged with a bunch of people at a pen factory. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what your mindset is around influencing others. List what you can do to be a better leader today. Finally, list a person or cause that you can be more intentional about supporting. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this episode with those you serve to help me help others grow in their own recognition of their ability to change the direction of everyone they meet. Also, please don't forget to rate and share this episode on your favorite platform. And thank you to the Wellpennies for their music. I don't know if you remember this, but the beginning of the episode, I always play the same Wellpenny song, and I love that song because it's called World Shaker. Last, history is filled with examples of people who use or abuse their influence. Martin Luther King is one whose life was cut short, but today we see people all over the world living his ideals and being impacted by his historical influence. I'm ending the podcast today with an old U2 song. It's called MLK. It is a beautiful song, and I used to sing it to my children as a lullaby when they were infants. There's a line in the song that has always inspired me. Sleep tonight, and may your dreams be realized. Here's what you need to realize. You make a difference. No matter your age, your profession, your race, your ethnicity, your financial status, or gender, none of that makes as big of a difference as the simple fact that you, and you alone, can change the direction of another person. Martin Luther King was a man of strong convictions who lived with a moral compass that guided him to influence the world in which we live and he lived. But here we are, generations later, and we are living life under the influential habits he built. So today, remember that you may not be MLK, but you are somebody, and you matter in the lives of others.
Tonight, and may your dreams.